This episode of WW Today is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. If you're booking your next vacation and you're thinking, I gotta lug this thing, and as Will likes to say,
all you gotta do is pack.
Not your children.
Just kidding.
We came
your
up,
stroller. Yeah.
Which is the worst tagline we've created. Don't lug your stroller. Lug your children.
Yeah.
Through the airport, because you're gonna like it once you get there and you don't have to worry about using that space in your car or using that, you're trying to lug it through the airport. Go to kingdomstrollers.com, book your strollers, your cribs, whatever you need, you can find it there. Great people. Make sure you tell them you heard about it here on WDW Today. Again, Kingdom Strollers. Hey, and Will, we haven't said that yet.
I think you did last week,
did
right?
The Will's expecting?
No, I don't think
no.
You did.
Oh, no, maybe not.
Should we say it or should you say it?
I don't say anything.
All right, so Will is expecting his first baby.
Yeah, so I'll
expecting
be able to
his
have
first
one
Kingdom
of those,
stroller.
Get one of those City Minis.
Yeah, I saw you. Will actually texted me a photo
like,
of a
look,
City Mini.
I know
Mini.
What this is.
I know. I've heard these words before.
Yeah.
So go to KingdomStrollers.com. Hey, tweet Will and wish him a congratulations on
oh,
that.
Thank you.
And now,
thank you.
KingdomStrollers.com, and now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today. Coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, February 15th, and this is episode, I don't know, what is it, Will?
1551.
1551, I was going to say that, but I didn't.
Oh.
I second-guessed myself.
You should have said it.
Of WDW Today, and today we are not doing a best and worst podcast, or, you know, well, maybe doing the worst podcast, but I'm Logan Seculo.
I like what you did there. I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we do a good show today. We're going to just be discussing, I'm sure you guys know, and I don't mean to, like, beat a dead horse here, but we're going to be going over all the news and how it affects you. Later on, Len Testa's back. And he's going to tell you how this all the new stuff is going to affect your touring plan, what to look forward to this summer. So this is sort of a spring summer, you know, look to, right? Other than some things have already opened. So let's start off. We can start strong with what opened up the last couple of days, which was Rivers of Light. Finally,
Soft opened. Was it Wednesday of last week? Thursday of last week?
Yeah, but it's had multiple showings now. It seems to be getting.
Just a soft open, though. It's not a...
It hasn't, they haven't formally opened, but you can already get your fast passes. You can already start booking your experiences. So that at least kind of confirms that back on track for Night Times of the Animal Kingdom, so you can start working that into your travel plans. I'm looking forward to seeing it after seeing some photos, but I definitely have... There's definitely mixed reviews on it. But some people say it's their first or second favorite nighttime spectacular. So
first or second favorite... Nighttime spectacular.
So I've seen some people like who love Illuminations, but like Illuminations first, then the new Animal Kingdom Rivers of Light. So I think a lot of people are maybe intrigued if the changes that got made, and maybe it was for the best.
The official opening date is February 17th, so Friday of this
okay,
week.
So it's open.
Yeah. So if you're listening, unless you're just one of those people who wakes up on like Wednesday morning and just listens,
which a lot of people do. Maybe they even listen on Tuesday late night. Depends.
Because sometimes
that's a pro tip.
Yeah.
Usually around 9 to midnight Eastern.
Depends
it goes
if
up.
I remember to edit it.
It
not.
Does. Or if you upload it to the right show. We've had that.
Yeah, I have had that happen.
Some Scare Zone listeners have been listening going, ooh, this is a little too happy.
Who are these other folks?
All right. So Rivers of Light, that's at Animal Kingdom. It's their nighttime show. It's similar. It looks like kind of a mix between Fantasmic and World of Color, but animal themed is from the videos I've looked at. Cool floats. Again, it looks like a good thing. I know Len's seen it. You guys can talk to him. I actually won't be on this segment with Len. I got to go pick up my boy from preschool, but they're going to talk to that, and he'll tell you how this affects travel plans. What else do we have? A lot of stuff has been announced, and a lot of new things happening in the world of Walt Disney World.
Well, obviously, ticket prices, but we probably... Let's just get it over with.
Yeah, so ticket prices went up marginally.
I wasn't, like, blown away. I've only heard one person who's kind of like...
How dare they?
You know, it was like...
I just expected...
Your pass went up $10.
Yeah, I think the annual pass went up...
Between 10 and 30.
10 and 30 bucks. And and I saw one comment, I think, on one of those threads that people were like, would you not be paying 30 more? Do you feel that much bad not paying $30 more to experience Avatar Land and to experience all of these new things that are happening, Rivers of Light? That's not worth another $30 of your money? And I could see people's thoughts on that as the price increase keeps going higher and higher and higher. But this wasn't as drastic as last year's, And, you know, I
was it the same time last year? I felt like it was later in the year last year.
It's usually around the same time.
Okay.
February is when they typically do regular passes, and the annual passes tend to be like in
the fall.
Have been the fall, right? September, yeah. But this year they decided just to, because last year was the year when they did that whole value
15% changes, yeah.
They did the different tiers, and so right. I think they wanted to kind of keep the confusion down. And I think they're learning that it's just like, let's just have this conversation one day a year.
Right.
Because the more this is in the press, the worse it is for us.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I even saw...
I think they'll do a second price
cut. Because I even saw like Clark Howard and some of those guys, they post about it. The Magic Kingdom prices go up again. How you're going to be able to save money? Because all the big money guys are going to start doing that for summer plans. I don't think we'll see another hike.
You don't?
No.
I think we will. I think we will in the fall. Okay. That's my prediction.
All right. We'll see.
They're going to double down this year.
We'll see if Will's right.
Because they're going
to... You have no facts to prove.
No, but they're going to justify it based on Avatar Land.
So, speaking of Avatar Land, we have a date announcement for that beast, and it's not that far away.
No, May 27th is the official opening date, which I was way wrong about.
Yeah, you were thinking like August.
I was thinking it was going to be...
I did too.
And so, I mean, they've shocked, because normally when they say summer...
It means the end of summer. That's borderline spring.
This is spring. I mean, it's not even summer yet. So, I mean...
They pulled a Universal, and we're like, hey... Let's surprise them.
Good on them.
Which, you know, before we get too excited here, they did announce Avatar Land in 1987, I think.
When was it? It was 2009-ish
or 11 or
goodness.
Something.
It was like 11, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So that's going to open in May. So if you're planning your summer vacation, or even your late spring vacation, you may be able to experience Pandora. Go to Tiffin's while you can, because it's going to get crazy over there. And I look forward to it. Everything I've seen. Now, have they said, is it going to be everything is open? Like, is the world open? All
the land opens.
Everything opens.
Yeah, it's supposed to be complete open. That's what they're saying.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. And then finally, the thing they announced Star Wars is what? They didn't give a
Well, they
time.
Said a date, which was kind of like...
That was, yeah.
That's not
they
a
said
date.
A year.
They said 2019 is when it's officially going to open.
That's about a year sooner than I thought it would. I thought we'd be at 2020. So that's only 2 years away, depending on when.
Yeah, I mean...
Two to two and three quarters. We're in 2017.
It feels like...
That's 2019. Yes, 2 years.
It feels like they're going to make a lot of effort to get it open before spring break, which I feel like is Disney's biggest attendance.
Yeah.
It feels like they would... If you're going to open in, say, that far in advance, they want it open before summer.
Yeah. I could see that being the case. I think they're going to try to push also to beat Nintendo Land over at Universal, which I think is probably looks more likely to be 2020. So I think that's one of the big pushes to get there at 2019. I look forward to that one as well. And then, you know, a lot of other things have been happening in the world of Disney. We also saw the opening finally of, which you said it wasn't going to happen, Terry, but the open of Boathouse, or not Boathouse, what's Fulton's now?
A paddle fish.
Paddle fish. We saw the open Paddle Fish and a Planet of Hollywood. But you were saying we were down there a few weeks ago. Like, there ain't no way they're opening it. And they did.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything about it? I'll have to call Tim and ask him.
You've heard about the...
Heard about Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood.
But I have not heard about...
What is the Planet Hollywood theme? It's Oprah?
What?
What? Something like Oprah? Maybe that was a dream I had. I dream about Oprah opening restaurants.
In 20... it is Planet Hollywood Observatory. And I think it looks just like Planet Hollywood, but they kind of project on the dome.
So there's nothing to do with Oprah.
Guy Fieri.
That one. Same thing.
Yeah. Guy and Oprah are literally the same person.
I feel like Terry could be Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
You got kind of the same hair. Yeah.
I like Guy Fieri. I've been a plan. But not great reviews coming out of Planet Hollywood Observatory. I've seen, like, it's the worst place you could possibly ever eat on property.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see Lou Mangiello eating there almost every day.
They've had some media events recently. Let's just say those that weren't getting their meal paid for, I've heard.
Not a fan.
Not good.
Including co-host on your other podcast.
Tim, including the Big Fat Panda, he tweeted, he went all out, tweeted Guy Fieri and said, you got to fix this. So
Guy Fieri don't care.
Fieri don't care.
I think he's the new White House chef, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Not real.
Yeah, him and...
fake news.
What was the White House chef? The governor's chef. Art Smith.
Art Smith, yeah.
Art Smith's playing at Hollywood Observatory.
I like Art Bell better.
Well, I've heard bad things. And I did actually look forward to trying it, because I kind of always liked the Planet Hollywood theme more than a lot of people do, just because I like movies, memorabilia, props.
It's always been like over Hard Rock for me.
Yeah, me too. And but
I feel like it's just gone.
But I've heard I've heard the Guy Fieri menu is just not good, or maybe they just haven't gotten it down yet. I mean, again, I haven't had it myself. My expectations for those meals are never been great, so maybe it's just people going in thinking, because they have the big toothsome style shakes there as well,
yeah,
which we've talked about before. The toothsome shakes are very good. Yeah. So I'm not shocked if those aren't that good either. They look really cool.
It's just too much.
It's a lot of presentation without a lot of flavor.
Yeah. I've eaten at a couple of Guy's restaurants, and I thought they were good.
Yeah,
and so, I don't know how. It feels like the last time, even before they closed Planet Hollywood, they were really good at just messing up food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've only had mediocre meals, but it's been years since I've eaten there. I mean, it's been probably since 2008 since I've
for a while when you booked a package through Disney, you got a free meal. Planet yeah. Hollywood meal, which is the that. Only reason why you ever went to Planet Hollywood.
Yep,
because it's like, well, it's a free meal,
right? And guess we'll suffer through it.
Guess we'll sit through it.
But they did announce over at Disney Springs also the closing of Disney Quest, July 2nd.
Sad day in America.
Yeah.
I wanted to, and one of our listeners is someone who works at the Animation Academy. I don't know if she listens to this show. I know she listens to Scare Zone. She works at Animation Academy over there. That's the saddest part to me, is finally, like, the Animation Academy finally fully closed. I guess over at Art of Animation, they still do it once or twice a day. But
such a big part of the Disneyland animation building. Hopefully they're going to bring that back somewhere once
hopefully.
The dust settles. Because that's literally one of the more, like, especially if you're a regular park attendant, to go in and learn how to draw a character.
I guess the question will be, do you think Launch Bay exists once Star Wars Land is open?
No.
You think it goes away?
Yeah, because it's just too much. Because that really backs up to where Toy Story, like, that building may get lost to Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, that's sort of where
and everything they've built is very mobile. It doesn't feel like something, it's all props and things they can put anywhere.
I mean, there's hardly anything. I mean, there's that section that's the, like, video games. Yeah. And then there's props in a store.
Yeah, the meet and greet areas are just set pieces.
Right.
So, yeah. So, when that goes away, maybe you'll see something come back. I don't see it. But, yeah. So, Disney Quest, which honestly I haven't been to in years. It was a huge part of my childhood. Will and I used to spend countless hours at Disney Quest.
Now, something's kind of interesting is happening over at One Man's Dream that could move some of that over there, because all of the, like, park, you know, when you used to, before you go into the show, all of that stuff that was park driven is now movie driven.
Okay.
So, like, all the, like, clay sculpts from the movies have moved over there that were in the animation building.
Okay.
So there's not, like, you know, when you used to see, oh, it's a Tree of Life model, like, that's not, a lot of that's been moved and being replaced for movie. And that's where Moana was. I don't know if she's still there. I assume she's still there.
I think so, yeah. And then is that where they're doing the Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast preview is there.
And I've heard that's awesome. I've heard if you're down there, go see the Beauty and the Beast preview before it's gone. But Disney Quest, I've heard mixed things, that half the stuff works and they've just kind of let it rot. I have not been there in years.
That's kind of the problem with attractions like that. I feel like at Disney, like, the little supplementary attractions that you can go visit that aren't the main deal, is a lot of times they have a big pop in the beginning, like when we went for years, loved it, and then it just, the newness fades away and people aren't really going down there for that.
Right.
So they just start to let it go.
Well, I even talked to one of the employees, like, oh, the Make-A-Toy thing is still there, but you don't get your toy.
What?
Yeah.
Or you can't buy the toy. Well, that was sort of the whole point of that. Now you're just using an old PC.
Right. That was what was cool about it.
And then there's the systems, like, I think some of the rides are down. There's
the raft ride.
That's still probably pretty good. There was what was Hercules is now Pirates of the Caribbean. That thing is pretty fun.
That was fun. We did that. We did this about 18 months ago when they first announced.
They first said it was going to close.
Leslie and I were just like, let's go. Let's do it one more time. Because we were both kind of sad about it because it's a good rainy day thing. And then we went, after we left last time, it was like, close that sucker down.
It was expensive.
Yeah.
Now, when we used to go, I don't think the admission fee was too high, but you didn't get everything.
Right.
You bought per attraction.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, in the very beginning, it was
now it's
almost like old school Disneyland. Right.
It's like e-tickets. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now it's like, it was like $50 to go.
Or it comes with, like, your water park or more, or your premium pass. See, they did a deal with DVC members 3 or 4 years ago, or right when they announced, I guess 2 years ago, where they upgraded everybody's pass to the water park and more option.
Yeah.
Which I think that's kind of faded away with these new tickets also.
I think it's still, there's an option because it's like the platinum.
You can't get the, you can't get a water park annual pass anymore, which you used to be able to, just the water.
Just water parks?
Yeah.
It's probably because
no one was buying it. So that'll be interesting to see what, if Disney does something. We've talked about on the show before how there's a lack of rainy day things to do in Orlando. So
it's becoming NBA World, and that will open up. And I think it's going to be a ticketed attraction. I think it's not like NBA City was at Universal. I think it's a Disney Quest-ish NBA experience. And Will's making a face, and I kind of agree. Awesome. Like, I'm an NBA fan. I'm one of the few,
You know what it's going to end up being?
Closed.
Closed or All-Star Sports. The attraction that no one wants to go to.
Yeah, I mean, interactive basketball is just basketball. I don't understand when
they have rows of the movable backboard arcade game.
Yeah, that's all I think it's going to be.
I get over at ESPN World of Sports where it's like, oh, there's football simulators because I'm never going to play pro football. But you know what? I played basketball on a regulation size court. I got it. Like, it's good. So I'm curious what it ends up being. I doubt I'll visit very often. I will try to hit Disney Quest one more time. I'm sure my son would actually enjoy it and all the old arcade games and everything that's still there. But it's hard to justify that ticket price. So we'll see. It's hard to justify a day. And I would say go give it a shot before it's closed. But here's also the main problem. The reason I never took my son, who is a video game fan, is everything has really high height requirements. So to do that, like the Buzz Lightyear thing where you're, I think it's Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin or something like that, what they call it.
It's basically like you're in like a...
You're in a bumper car.
Bumper
car in that you get a ball, you can shoot people with it. It's actually a blast. Like, we love doing it. You have to be like 52 inches to ride that thing.
And the queue to get in that, even when there's no one in there.
Is it?
I mean, there's a wait. And there's always a wait for it.
The same with the Mighty Ducks thing. All those have really high height requirements that would kind of keep out your smaller kids. So I don't necessarily say go do it. I'd say go do it if you're like a Disney adult fan who wants to say you make it be like the alien encounter where you're like, well, at least I did it. I saw it. I was there.
Speaking of things going away, one that I'm nostalgic about, but sort of like have a lot of memories tied to. Will's not going to care about this one. We're actually going to kick Will out of the studio to talk about this. Is Wishes is going away.
Wishes.
Good for them.
Which is going to what day? Like May? Find the exact day. I mean, if you guys are planning your trips, it's going to go away soon.
We just changed our touring plan around Wishes for our next quick little trip down there.
Yeah, I would actually... Here's my thing. I love Wishes. I think it's a great show. But it's time, folks. It's been 15 years. Since I've been going as an adult, it has been Wishes. Exactly the same every night. So for me, though I have a lot of nostalgia tied to it, because all of my adult life and some of my teen life even, it was Wishes, I am ready for something new. And what I do like, what seems to be, is that they're getting rid of the separate projection show that goes into fireworks. It seems like this new show, which you can pull up the name of.
Yeah, Happily Ever After.
Happily Ever After.
And it's
going
to be 18 minutes, which is a little longer than, longer.
That's 7 minutes longer than the current show. Wishes, I think, is 11 minutes.
20-minute
May 12th.
May 12th is the last day or the
first
day? It's
the first day of Happily Ever After.
So May 11th is the last day of Wishes. So if you want to catch Wishes, make sure to go May 11th.
Wishes?
Wishes.
You said Wishes.
Wishes.
Get stitches.
That's what they should change the
Halloween
show is to Wishes.
That would take too much effort on Disney's part.
Yeah. They should have to change the little girl's voice. That girl's now 48 years old. Starlight. We're going to bring it back out. Starlight. Starch been smoking. Star bright, first star I see the night.
She coughs halfway through the song.
I thought you were just coughing, Terry. No. I thought we were about to lose you.
No, just for sound effect.
That was good. I liked it. So they're going to be replacing it with a new show, Happily Ever After. I really can't wait. I think the projection show has always been my highlight. I've liked it over the fireworks the last few years. So I think seeing a... Will did just leave, by the way.
Will just
left. We just said he would. He did leave. He's having a family emergency.
We've also heard Will talk about his lack of love for fireworks. And both you and I have talked about how, especially with our wives.
I like fireworks a lot. It's part of the Disney experience. I think, though, I think we saw it with Star Wars, which is a show that combines the projection elements. And look, projecting on Cinderella Castle has actually always been better than anywhere else.
And I can confirm but Disney has confirmed this and from other sources that the Tinkerbell is still very much part of the new show, which is some people immediately.
So Tinkerbell will fly.
Tinkerbell will still fly.
Yeah. I don't think they can get rid of that element. At Disneyland, do they do that? They did Dumbo for a while.
I don't even know what fireworks are showing.
That Dumbo was crazy looking.
Yeah, the Dumbo, it was Dumbo on one side and Tinkerbell, and they were moving uh-huh. back and forth. I loved that. Like, yeah. Obviously.
Like a giant. He had sort of a weird look on his face, though. Like, exactly. it was crazy. But that opens. I'm looking forward to that. I know a lot of people, I have a lot of memories tied to it for sure.
I'm shocked that they're doing it when they're doing it, because you and I have talked about this before, that I was expecting it with the next anniversary that they would make the change.
Yeah. Why? What's the need when you have all these new things opening to bring something new to the Magic Kingdom? I guess it's, is it to, I would assume it's to diversify the audience so everyone's not rushing to Animal Kingdom to see Rivers of right. Light. They actually have something new to go see. So now you're going to have an audience split. Some want to go see the new Magic Kingdom show. Because to me, I'd rather go see what's going to be Happily Ever After. I'd rather go see that than Rivers of Light if I think of what I want to go see first. So I look forward to that. And
keeping the dessert party.
Oh, of course.
And also with Rivers of Light, I just booked this. I'm going to Tiffin's for the first time. We've been to the bar and lounge there a couple times. Good. So they're doing, and it was really reasonable, I think, the dining package for Rivers of Light, since I didn't bring this up. It was like $67 for Tiffin's, which is expensive, but I mean, some of the breakfasts seem like they're that much when they have a Fantasmic Passive package. So I don't think they're being...
So that was a Rivers of Light package?
Rivers of Light package, and then I think it's
50. You have guaranteed
seats. They have it for Tusker.
Is it actually seats, or is it just like...
It's seats. It's like an amphitheater.
Okay, cool. So it's not like... it's like more like Fantasmic here, Fantasmic. Not Fantasmic Disneyland.
Right, yes.
Or there's an actual World of Color.
Since, you know, you don't go to the Animal Kingdom, there's an actual, they've built...
I've been there, but I just couldn't really see it.
They built a theater in that, like a...
In front
like
of the tree and everything, right? Now, where is it?
The theater's over by... it goes from where the monkeys are in Asia, sort of starts there, that are climbing in the... Where the water ride is, and then it goes around to Nemo.
Okay.
In front of Everest. Oh, so that whole huge. That whole loop. That whole half of the lake...
Interesting.
So if you were sitting and eating at Flame Tree, you'd be looking at the theaters. And there's a good bit of seating.
Awesome. Well, I look forward. I mean, I'm going to go. That's what's going to bring me in Animal Kingdom again. That and Avatar Land, I'll for sure be visiting to try it out. But I'm definitely more looking forward to this show because of the reasons I said. I like that combo of both a projection show with the fireworks, because I think the fireworks, by the 11-minute mark, you're like, okay. Let's wrap this up. I feel like by the 7-minute mark, you're like, all right, this is still fun, but it starts to get drag. But now that we can use new technology, I think that's what I'm excited about. New technology, better projection, better, you know, creativity. It should be awesome. And I think
it'll be interesting to see if they do what they've done at Disneyland and bring Main Street USA into the story at all.
Yeah.
Like, which would be kind of fun.
The projection onto the
projection onto the Main Street and just using the entire. I think what Disney's finally learned, I mean, when they started the construction on the hub, is that they have to spread people out. And that's the whole reason why they're doing this now, I think, like you said. It's just to spread people around and...
Will's back.
Yeah, Will's back.
Sorry, had to take care of a radio technical glitch elsewhere in Radio World.
Real Radio World.
Yeah.
No. Real Radio in Orlando. Wish it were for them the glory days, y'all.
Yeah, the 99, 98.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, what are you guys looking forward to the most of the new things and changes?
Wishes being gone.
But what about the new one?
Too long.
All right.
I wish it were half the time. I wish it was a 5-minute spectacular. Great. I'd love that.
You'd have that like 20 times a night.
You just want all the pyro like in a much shorter period of time.
Light it all off.
Just blow it up.
No, I'll tell you the truth. Just leave it. Nothing. I'm looking forward to the price increases.
And for those
you know, anything you're looking forward to?
Clear out the riffraff. I mean, obviously, Avatar Land. Like, having a date for that, knowing that it's around the corner is probably the most exciting thing. Knowing that something big is coming, it's tangible now, we can experience it. It's going to give you a reason to maybe go to Animal Kingdom, and hopefully they have an e-ticket there.
The rumors are yes.
The thing that I think, even for people like Will who aren't excited about the new fireworks show, is the good thing that these big shows and spectaculars do, if you want to enjoy the rest of the park, they take a lot of people off of attractions.
Yeah.
And that's why Disney does them, is because, you know, 5, 10, 30,000, depending on the park, their eyes are on something else. You know, everybody's sitting there staring at Happily Ever After. They're not in line at Space Mountain.
Right.
And so that's good for you if you want to ride.
If you want to go to the new, hey, by then, the new, and that will be until like July, till the new, President's Hall of Presidents opens up, so you can definitely do that during the fireworks. Won't be too long of a queue. And other options will be coming on, guys. But so you're looking forward to most of the fireworks?
Rivers of Light kind of has me
intrigued.
I had such high expectations when they first announced it, and then when they did the pre-show, like, and it was just like, oh gosh, they took everything out of the story. I really lowered my expectations, and it looks like a lot of the floats are back. I'm excited to see that. I love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Animal Kingdom become an all-day park.
Yeah, I am too. As much as Will and I like to hate on Animal Kingdom, I'm excited for new offerings. I'm excited for nighttime offerings.
I mean, honestly, having an extra portion of the park like that could really elevate it in my mind.
Yeah, because you're going for Everest.
Yeah, and I just say that there's not that much to do at Animal Kingdom, so right. I feel like it's a waste of my time for the most part.
Because
I've
money.
Done the safari, and it's expensive. Like, it's a price of a park.
Right.
But having that extra thing now may make it, I mean, it's probably going to be, it probably right now will top Hollywood Studios until Star Wars lands there.
I would imagine so.
So
I think that's a good bet. I would say, I mean, Avatar Land's hard for me to say that it's not what I'm looking forward to the most because it is something you get to walk through, a new experience. But if I look at that list, I think the Happily Ever After thing sounds fun to me. I look forward to a new fireworks show. It's something that I know I'll be able to experience soon.
Obviously, none of us are including Star Wars Land, even though it's technically on the list.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. We'll get to that in 2 years.
Because if that was the option, all of us would say
absolutely. Star Wars Land. Assuming that Star Wars Land is going to be what it's promised to be, I can't imagine that not being what I would say is going to be the greatest thing of all time. That being said, we're going to go to listener questions with Lynn.
Can I point out one more thing?
Yes, you can.
That Terry said... He, you know, bringing up the fireworks, that he most looks forward to the fireworks. That's my least. He loves Soarin'. That's my least. It's like, what is Terry's dream experience at the park is my nightmare. Moving on. That's
it. Well, you know.
Now let's welcome back to the show after this little jingle. The return of listener questions with Dr. Lynn Testa.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
And we're back with Lynn Testa and without Logan Sekulow today. So this is going to be a little interesting. See how we drive this ship.
Yeah. I feel like the catcher just called up from the minors.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to dive right in.
Okay, so before we do the questions.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I should just let Terry steer. I'm gonna already getting sent back down.
I'll be over here looking pretty. Sit still, look pretty.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've been talking on the rest of the episode, Lynn, about just announcement week 2017 last week.
Right.
With the minor price increases and some dates. Any thoughts quickly? Changes to touring plans with Rivers of Light. Happily Ever After.
We had already done the changes last year for not for Rivers of Light, but really for Pandora. The big thing on that, the thing that people are that's gonna throw people, and Disney won't announce until the very end, is whether they'll place any Fastpass restrictions on both of the new rides. Like, will you be able to get Fastpasses for both? Or will it be tiering, like both those rides will be in Tier A and everything else in the Animal Kingdom will be in Tier B? That's going to be the one interesting thing. We won't know that. I don't think Disney's going to know that till the very end.
So you could have a Tier A, in my opinion, that might have Everest, Safari, and the two new rides, which would be disastrous if you can only pick one of them.
Oh, that'd be terrible. I think it'll literally be the two new Pandora rides will be A and everything else will be B.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're going to want to be able to spread people out of the in the park too. So, but that's the big thing. And really your touring strategy is going to come down to that. Whether you could get fast passes and when. If you can, you know, there'll be one set of plans. If not, there'll be another. It's really difficult to say, you know, here's the one strategy to rule them all. When we don't know those things. So, the good news is we've been modeling this kind of stuff since last year, literally since this time last year.
Yeah, they've given you enough lead time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if touring plans blows this, dude, you really should just quit because you've had enough time to prepare for this.
We actually have three different scenarios modeled out, and the three scenarios are this. A 5% increase in attendance is essentially a disaster. Where
that would be insane.
That would be insane. Yeah, 15%, which is sort of our middle estimate. 15% increase in attendance, which is what we're expecting. That's a little bit less than what Universal got when it opened Diagon Alley. That said, Universal was starting at a much lower attendance number, so mm-hmm. it had more room to grow. It started with 20%, and also Harry Potter is a beloved franchise. Avatar is a single film that was made, 15, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And then we have a 25% scenario where the rides are much better than expected. Disney's marketing machine hits it out of the ballpark, and the word of mouth spreads like wildfire. I don't think that's going to happen, so we picked 15% as our estimate. You know, we can always adjust.
Yeah, I think that's a good – I feel good about your decision, Lynn.
Yeah, thanks. What'd you guys think about the ticket price increase?
Well, I am – earlier in the episode, I predict that it will – it's just the first of two this year. I think they're going to raise it again in the fall after Avatar is open.
Depending on how it looks, that's bold.
It's bold.
I will side with you on this. I believe this will happen.
Yes, because Logan and Terry said I was crazy.
No, entirely possible. I mean, if they hit their 15% number, why not? Why not increase it a couple more dollars? Here's the interesting thing. If you look at how they increased prices, they basically broke it down and said the people who seem to be the most cost sensitive, the people who are going for one day, 2 days, 3 days, right? They got the lowest price increases. So Disney seems to be recognizing that for a lot of people, there is a limit. The people who are sort of the casual fans.
Yeah, right.
Where they socked it to you was the diehards, the people that go for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. Those people got 8, 9, 10, 11% increases.
Yeah.
So I didn't even notice those because those aren't what really comes out in the story.
Yeah.
So like your 5 day hopper really got hit hard, huh?
Yeah. The 9%. You know, and again, so just to put that in perspective, inflation in the United States last year was 2.07%. This went up, you know, four or five times the rate of inflation. The average hourly wage in the United States went up 2.47%. So this is double that.
And that's after, you know, a good long period of lowering wages. So
yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not like they're back at one here, you know,
right, exactly.
As Brian McKnight would say.
And last year's price increases were the largest in 25 years. So, you know, so 10% on top of last year's stuff is
significant.
Mm-hmm. You know, that said, you know, a 10-day base adult ticket, $470 with tax, let's say $470, $47 a day for Walt Disney World. I can kind of see, I could rationalize that, right?
Yeah, true.
But you're not that far from an annual pass with some limits on it at that point.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But you know, I mean, even the 8 day, I think, what's the 8 day, base 404 or something like that? 447. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Disney in a multiple day, it's still a good deal.
It's clearly better to go multiple days. Obviously.
Yeah. Now where this gets interesting for Disney is there's a lot of people predicting, you know, we've been in an economic upturn in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so if there is another downturn in the economy, Disney's going to have to really go aggressive on discounting again, which their stockholders hate. So
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, say unemployment triples or, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
If unemployment triples,
yeah,
then
we'll all have larger problems.
You know what?
Than
Disney is the least of your problems, Terry. My gosh.
Yeah, I mean the thing is that, you know, Disney's targeting that top 10% of U.S. households by income. Mm. They are generally less susceptible to recessions than the middle class. So there is a financial advantage to them targeting. You know, there is some upside there. There's, you know, if you're talking, you know, highly educated, white collar families to as your base, they are generally less affected by down, you know, even
very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we better. Will, do you want to turn this ship around and get us?
Yeah, yeah.
Us out
now,
of this
now that we've gotten
depression,
into some, like, yeah, dark economic forecasting, courtesy of Alex Jones Weaver over there. Let's go ahead, and this one's from Reed Wilson.
I like this question.
It's talking about changes at Disney. This one says, if Lightning McQueen goes electric, should the Disney buses? I say yes.
Is he going electric?
I don't know. I guess that's a prediction.
Is that the rumor for Cars 3 that he goes electric?
Oh man,
John, that's actually, yeah. You know, they can rebuild him. It'd be like a bionic Lightning McQueen,
which would be incredible.
Not bad.
And I will say, knowing John Lasseter, there's not a place that he parks a car that doesn't have a Tesla supercharging station. So the man loves the electric car. There's two of them at Lasseter Winery. So very much, it's not improbable.
No, it's not. I'd love to see the Autopia change over to electric. Imagine how much quieter and better smelling that
Yeah, and you could
be.
Breathe. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the same thing with the Disney buses, though. Those, you know, traditional, it's probably a diesel bus, you know? They smell awful. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind having the nuisance of a bus smell gone with exhaust.
But. And since we're all Debbie Downer on the economy right now, what would be interesting?
No, just you.
Just me.
Lynn and I said there's going to be another price hike. So yeah, I think we're pretty forward-looking positive.
Hold on that.
Well, what's interesting is when you think about the Disney buses going electric, there's the number one male job in America, I heard, actually, on a podcast last night. With Damon John from Shark Tank and Gary Vaynerchuk talking about how the number one male job in America is men drive trucks. They drive buses. They deliver for U.S. Postal Service. They deliver.
Really?
That we are, you know, predictably 10 years away, possibly, from driverless society in a lot of ways. Like you're seeing in an Uber right now, you're seeing a lot of, you know, the idea that Disney could make their vehicles, you know, get that Tesla engine in there and make it, make it where they're basically the buses become the monorail. And you're almost seeing, I mean, this is a bold prediction, but I predict more driver bus only lanes around the parks.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, basically what that does is that turns the bus system into the monorail in a lot of ways where it's
smart.
When they have their own. Because there's been a lot of construction around Magic Kingdom and where Hollywood Studios is going. And I could totally see that area with it. Could you imagine hopping on a bus and not getting stuck in traffic there during Disney season?
Yeah. I mean, over by the Disney Springs where they do it, I think it's fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And so if they and then couple it with an electric bus, I mean, talk about the most efficient transportation system in the theme park world.
I wouldn't be surprised because it's the number one complaint they have is people have transportation issues. So why not fix it?
It's true. The other interesting thing is that Disney could make it easier on the self-driving buses because they own the roadways. They could if they needed, you know,
right,
they
needed no
bright
issue.
Green paint on it, right? Bright green paint it is, right? Yeah, it's not like, you know, they have to deal with Dallas, Fort Worth or Los Angeles traffic or anything like that. They control the entire infrastructure. They could do it.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome actually.
Well, I like that we just solved the problems right here.
Yep. Well, here's another. There's more economic stock market. We become a show on MSNBC this afternoon. But WD owner from Twitter wants to know how long can Disney keep the dollars going up and guests go down thing? Wall Street won't like this for long.
You know, it's revenue is customers times price. They can deal with as long as the price goes up faster than the customers drop off.
Exactly.
They can do it. At the end of the day, there's going to be 10 people in the parks, each of them paying $5 million a day.
Well, and to this person's question, it says Wall Street won't like this for long. That's actually not accurate. As long as the revenue, people are looking at bottom line.
Yeah.
If you're an investor, you're looking at bottom line of the company. You're not looking at guest visits per year.
Right. You could care less.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. You couldn't care less. How many people
do it? If you could care less, that means you care about it. You couldn't care less.
No.
Moving on. Joe, who is at As the Joe Flies.
Great handle.
He asks, ticket price increases justified in light of Rivers of Light and Pandora?
Shout out to Joe, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, if you look at Disney's explanations or their press releases that have gone with the last couple of price increases, they say things like, by the way, as part of this price increase, we're building Avatar. Oh, and you saw it in this last week's price increase, they're saying, hey, we're getting ready to open Pandora. That's where this money's going. We're working on Star Wars Land. That's where this money's going. You know, and then to say after it opens, well, we just built this, so now you have to pay us more. Like, dude, you've been telling us we've been paying for it for the last 7 years.
Right.
I feel like
it's all just press release semantics.
Yeah,
I mean, it's they're raising the price because they can.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're just reminding people that that the price increases aren't happening in a vacuum. And I get it, but you know, they didn't have anything to, else to point to. Well, they actually pointed to Soarin' in Frozen Ever After too as examples of stuff they've worked on. So adding a third capacity in a new film that was 10 years past the date we expected it.
Uh-huh.
And Frozen Ever After. I'll just leave it at that. And
right.
Frozen
Ever After. Yeah, you wanted to say something else about that film too, but we'll leave it.
And you know, I know we complain about Disney and money all the time. I will say this. I was on a Disney cruise a couple of weeks ago. Disney cruises are expensive. They do a new Frozen show on the Disney Cruise Line that I think is fantastic. It's the best show on the Disney Cruise Line. I think the effects are amazing. They're using the digital video mapping technology on the characters, on the actors.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, so like where Anna freezes and unfreezes, they actually digitally map the freezing and unfreezing onto her body as she's standing on stage.
Wow.
And there were literally three or four times in the show where I said, wow. And I'd love to see this effect again to see exactly how they did it. Again, I mean, here's an example where it's Disney's very expensive in the category. You know, they're way more expensive than Royal Caribbean. But I not once did I question the value of that cruise, because new restaurants, new bars, new stage show that I think is very, very good, new spas. Right. Everything was better than I expected. So there are instances where Disney can charge a premium and I'm happy with it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just that doesn't happen often enough, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, parks are, there's a lot of tiredness in Orlando that needs cleaned up. And that's, you know, Pandora's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what Pandora replaced. Pandora replaced a meet and greet.
Yeah, Captain Mickey, yeah.
Display of Donald and his nephews in a theater that's been moved, you know?
And that itself was a compromise on the thing that should have been built, which was Beastly Kingdom, so.
Correct. So basically just going back to what they should have done from the beginning and building something legit there.
Fair enough.
All right, moving on. Terry, you got the next one?
Hello, at Hello Disneyland, with some vowels missing. I heard there's been a new show to replace Illuminations at Epcot. For a while now. Why the delay? Any details? Drones?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's the drones. So I forget the guy's name, but there's I believe the guy who did the last iteration of Illuminations had put out on his website this hint that said essentially, and this was like 2014, something new coming to Epcot. You know, got to work with Disney again. Something new coming to my favorite park. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then nothing happened in 2015. It was supposed to happen at the end of 2015. What we hear is that Disney had wanted to include drones in this show, but getting FAA clearance for the drones has taken until essentially last winter when they got it up for Disney Springs. There are still some technical issues with the drones, namely that the amount of time that they can be in the air still is not that great. It's like 7-8 minute stops. And when you consider the fact that they're not going to be launched from the lagoon and they have to fly in a way that avoids areas with guests in them, and then they have to fly out at the end, you're pretty much left with like 60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds of showtime for the drones. It's just not enough yet.
Yeah.
So they're hoping that there's battery technology that advances in the next couple of years.
Right.
Well, always batteries.
I hope that happens.
Maybe they could get with Apple on the iPhone battery and figure something out.
Yeah, wireless
together.
Charging, right? I mean, just giant Tesla coil is what I'm thinking.
Everyone gets like radiation poisoning from the Tesla coil or something.
What you're saying is there are downsides, right?
Yeah. Okay,
basically, we've just decided on the show that when Iger retires, that Elon Musk should take over and turn.
No, he said we should all become androids to not be irrelevant today.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So Elon says some interesting things. He also said that there was like a less than a 1 in a billion chance that we're not all part of the Matrix.
You know, I mean,
I would be interested in seeing how he came up with that calculation. But okay.
He has an algorithm, I promise.
Also, specifically, that the movie got it spot on.
Yeah, the movie doesn't make any sense from a physics perspective, but that's fine.
Fair enough.
All right, thanks, Lynn. That's going to do it for today.
Wait a second. Where were you during the questions? You skipped the questions? Did you come back to close the show? Wait, how does this work?
So that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to our friend and sponsor, KingdomStrollers.com. Again, congratulate Will, congratulations on having a new thing to rent when you go to Walt Disney World.
I just pressed a button, like for a radio drop. You hear crowds cheering. Yay!
Yay. That's good. That's good button push.
Yeah, I had it.
Speaking of button, that's KingdomStrollers.com. Speaking of button push and radio studios, this is the last time in our original studio.
Oh, is this
the truth?
This is the end.
Farewell to Laugh-O-Gram 1.0.
Unless we don't have the podcast studio set up yet.
Well, for now, let's say we're going to come back here when no one is here to podcast.
No, I'm just saying I guess it probably will be our last in this regard.
Right. Yeah. So this is
our story. Maybe at your house next week or.
That's off limits.
Yeah, no, we're not allowed. Now that his wife's pregnant, no podcasting allowed.
No, none.
No, that's what she sounds. She sounds like Terry.
That's how Terry sounds?
I don't know. That's just, all right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you guys for listening. We're not going away, so make sure you know that. We're just moving offices. So if we sound better, awesome. If we sound worse, blame Will because he designed the new space.
Fair enough.
All right. That's going to do it. I forget what I was going to say.
You've said that's going to do it for the show.
I know. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on
Jeopardy!
The next show.